Yo, what's going on, folks?
What is up? Happy Monday. We're recording early today, so you're eating lunch, I'm assuming. Is this when you normally eat? You know what? I was going to ask you this
Dude, you
actually.
did not give me a single goddamn chance to answer any
I
one of your questions.
know.
You just like.
I know, but like I get questions in my head and then I think like other ones are more important. Like those ones weren't important. Well, they are, but like this is like the most important. So, do you always eat relatively around the same time every day?
Within like 1 or 2 hours, I'd say.
Okay.
Like I'm not like super crazy neurotic about it as I used to be, because it's just like it doesn't fucking matter that much. But as long as I'm not like stacking like 1200 calories on top of one another, like 2 to 3 hours is usually pretty good.
I was just curious if you're always like, I eat meal three at 1 p.m. every day.
Between 12 and 1:30, I'd say.
Yeah, like I used to be really rigid though. Like, had to be like, I was always like 8, noon, 4, and then 7. Like, that was my meals to a T. Didn't care. That was it.
Yeah, I mean, I usually cut off my meals around like 6, 6:30.
Yeah.
I just don't prefer eating like close up until bed, because normally I'm like asleep by 8, 8:30. So I only eat 4 meals a day, and I do fast a little bit longer when I am in dieting phases, just so that way my GH can work a little bit longer on the back end. So I usually will start eating around 9, and like I said, close up shop around like 6, 6:30. It's not a perfect science, and sometimes like it's every 3 to 4 hours, sometimes it's 2 to 3. It really just does depend. But since it's like off season, I don't want to be just like insane about it, because it's just like the 0.1%, that's just really not real. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, it's unrealistic to be honest with you. Now I can finally leak some goodies.
Yeah, you're out of the closet. Happy
Yeah.
mom.
That's funny. So I would always cut off my eating around 6:30 as well. But then obviously having a kid, like I was just always so backed up. And since I was like feeding him all night, dude, I was eating like I feel like I was eating 24 hours a day, like non-fucking stop. So now I would say in the last month or so, I finally got back to cutting my shit off at like 6. I used to be someone, and I think I got this from my first prep that would eat right before I went to bed because I was so scared that I was gonna wake up hungry in the middle of the night. So you see at like fucking 10 p.m. and go to bed 30 minutes later. Like, oh, the thought of that just makes my stomach heavy. I
Yeah,
think my sleep was worse when I was doing that actually, because my body was just trying to like digest all night. Like just
that
trap.
sounds like hell.
But how was your Monday? Do you have client check-ins today?
Yeah, it's always Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, and Frances is at that like 2 week out mark. She competes not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So that's good.
That's exciting. Is she still doing that? What was she doing? Like a play or something?
She had a performance art. Yeah,
Oh,
she had a grant
performance. Okay.
from like someone or something. I don't remember like all the logistics. It kind of, I don't necessarily always understand it, but she had a performance art that she already did.
Oh, it already passed. Okay.
Yeah. So now we're just in full contest prep mode.
I love that. And she's doing WPD and figure, right? How exciting. I
Yeah,
think
so
she'll do
that's
good
good for
in
her.
both.
What?
I think she'll do good in both.
We'll see. Like, it's not that
Is she
I
doing the
don't think
Julie
she's gonna
Palmer?
do, it's not that I don't think she's gonna be good. It's just I'm focused on bringing her best.
Yeah.
Because good is relative to who else is on stage. And I can't control who else is on stage. I can only control her look on stage. So as of right now, we saw a weight trend up after a low day. She was telling me hunger was high, fatigue was high. I was like, okay, we're gonna do more of a maintenance calorie day. We're only gonna get 10K steps, and we're gonna pull cardio today, and we'll see how she looks and feels. It's also in that like luteal slash period window where she would normally have a menstrual cycle. It also impact things. So it could be, like I said, estrogen retention. So her last test shot is going to be tomorrow. And then even though women don't aromatize as much as men, it's just a little bit less estrogen when it comes to that estrogen progesterone ratio. So it's just like little things here and there just to help her to feel good and bring in her best. And like whatever happens is whatever happens. She already beat last year's look.
I
And
was
so
gonna say she looks so much better compared to the year before. I'm so happy she has you as a coach to like
She's just
guide
fucking
her.
awesome. Like,
I know.
she's
I
not
don't.
bitched once.
And I also think like she is someone who didn't come from maybe a really good experience, and like for her to like not give up and want to keep going, I think it's like really awesome. Like it, because like you don't have a good coach, you just didn't have a good experience, and it can really put a bad taste in your mouth, and that's why I feel like a lot of people quit.
Yeah.
But Oh
Yeah,
man.
she's a great athlete. Like I said, I have no complaints. Like, she does what she needs to do. She does what she's supposed to do. She has good communication. Like, she wants to win, but she's not out to turn pro. Like, she literally does this for just like the love of it. And that's so fucking admirable as an athlete to like not be so like outcome focused, just to literally love the process, to love the grind, to love self-improvements. And like, that's the whole reason why you should compete, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. I have a girl in prep right now. We got quite a bit of a ways to go, though. But
Bikini.
yeah. She like lives near Tampa and wants to do like the Tampa Pro like extravaganza. I think that's the amateur one, but I don't think we're gonna make that, to be honest with you. So which is fine. There's other sh there's like oh, there's always a fuck ton of shows in Florida. So we're fine. And I want her to bring a better package than last time. She was self-coached last time. So her shape is completely different. Her glutes are just so built up right now, and I love
Good.
it. I love it. So shape is a lot better. It's just we gotta get that leanness. We gotta bring in that conditioning. So
Can you show me what she looks like? Share your screen.
yes. Let me get her pictures up. I was just talking to her today. She is the one we talked about adding in the Yohimbine with her meds. Okay, let me. Do I have oh yeah. Sometimes you don't give me access.
I did. Well, she's
Okay.
got great structure. She needs to hide her waist more, but she's got great structure.
She's going to like a posing clinic, but look at these things. I'll zoom
They're
in.
very round and perky.
I know. So we'll see. Like I said, she just need we just need conditioning there and some posing. But yeah, I mean, she's got. I wish we had a picture of, I think she sent me a picture a while ago of like what she looked like last time. No, oh, I wonder if I have it. I'll have to see if I can. There's like, oh my God. Sometimes you just have so many. Do you use email or use WhatsApp?
Both.
Yeah. This and see where it's at, and then I can send it to you. And then I will send it to you. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I always get kind of nervous though. I don't know why. It's like a
About
lot to.
like prep or about what?
Yeah, I think about prep just because like I want everyone to bring their best, and sometimes I don't know. I feel like I bring that pressure on myself too, but it's only because I just want. I want it so bad for them, you know?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, like that is normal, right? Like, you want to do right by your athletes. You want them to bring their best. You want them to look and feel their best. So like, it's normal to have that as long as you like lean back on your abilities as a coach, right? Like, obviously, whenever it's like a brand new athlete, when it comes to like learning how to peak them, prep them, all that stuff, like there's a certain level of like, nervousness. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know what you need to do. It's more just like giving yourself the time and listening to their feedback and developing that relationship to make sure that their best can be brought.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, like with Frances, like she's a really good athlete, you know, always checking in on time. She doesn't ever really complain. She just is like, hey, I am fatigued. But nothing like, I don't know. Have you ever had like, I don't know what to call them, maybe like a soapbox athlete where they're just like, everything is like miserable. Like the whole, like they just like don't enjoy the process. And it's kind of like, why are you doing this kind of thing?
Yeah, there's a difference between like feedback that's more like objective versus subjective. So it's like hunger is high versus, oh, coach, I'm hungry. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yes, hunger is going to be prevalent in prep, but it's like you're going to be hungry. So it's like, how do you embrace that hunger? It's like, yeah, I hunger is there. Contractions are difficult. I feel fatigued versus this is so hard. Like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's like working yourself up and having a different perceived stress response because you're now inside your head trying to play coach when you just need to be client.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good way to put it. Can't. And I don't think Personally, I've ever done that because I don't know. Like, I've pulled myself out so far from when it comes to like my own check-ins. Like, I don't even want to have any part in coaching myself or thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you get to that point where it's like not autopilot, but when you realize that if you stress yourself out over your own data and your own programming,
Oh.
it's shooting yourself in the foot. It doesn't make any fucking sense, especially when you're paying for a coach.
Dude, like, I used to stress so hard about my fasted blood glucose every fucking day for probably 10 months, and it never got any better. And I shit you not, I was like 110 to like 120 every fucking day for months. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Grant, I had like Hashimoto's, a whole bunch of inflammation, but like I would stress so hard about it. And then I was like, you know what? I literally remember waking up and I was like, whatever the number is on this thing, it's not your problem. Like, you got to put it in your spreadsheet and Mark's going to deal with it. But this number doesn't mean shit. Dude, it was like the first time my fucking blood sugar, I think it was like 96, which is still like a little bit higher, but I was like so fucking happy. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I just had to legit take a back seat, pull my head out of my ass, stop worrying about it. Cause, like, exactly like you said, why would I even be paying for a coach if I'm sitting here overanalyzing it my fucking self?
It's like I feel like some people they overanalyze and they stress out on their own data when they don't even understand what it means. They just stress out because they, on Instagram, it's like, oh, this is bad, this is good, this is optimal, whatever. Or it's like some coaches will, or some clients will kind of treat their coaches like almost like a Christmas wish list. Like, oh, hey, coach, it's time to add more food. Or hey, coach, can I have some cardio? It's like, it's not that we can't have open and honest communication, but you gotta let go. Like if you are working and paying for a coach, you have to understand that they're going to see you and your physique and what your body needs in a much better light than your own, because you cannot remove yourself from yourself, right? Like it's very rare that you can coach yourself at a very high level and be successful. There are some people that can, but all of us have days where we start to second guess and doubt. And that's why when you're working with a coach, like let it go. Because you can't control most of the things that you're stressing out about anyway.
Right. And yeah, dude, like, and that's the thing, like, everybody's so different. Like you said, you read on Instagram, like, what's optimal, like, what's not. And it's like, everyone, like, I look for trends, you know, like, every shoe is going to fit so different. And then people, like you said, they get all up in a hussy and they're like, oh my God, according to, like, I have one person. She's not, well, just currently one person, but she's not the only person that was like this, that is very influenced by social media. And do you remember my one health client? My one, oh God, what was
Did we
she?
do a consult for her?
Oh yeah. It was when
GI
we were
case?
what?
Never mind.
Yeah,
GI
GI.
case?
Yeah. And
Yeah.
it was everything it was daily, guys. Like, it was like, and I'm not saying this, like, I love educating like all my clients and you guys out there that listen, but it was every day it was something, or like, my friend does this, or I saw this on Instagram, and it was like, you can't have like so many. Think about, okay, here's like a good example. Think about, like, have you ever like went to paint a picture and you're just kind of like painting, and then you don't really like wash your brush off really good, and you get all those colors matched up, and then it's like the water's brown, the whole painting's fucking brown. It's not even beautiful anymore because you're mixing so many fucking things together that it's literally like, what do you call it? I think you call it the kitchen sink method,
Kitchen
where you just
sink.
kind
It's
of,
a kitchen sink approach, yeah.
yeah. And like, I get that. And it's like, hey, like, let me educate you. Like, let me, you know, try and tell you like this versus that. But like, you get so caught up because it worked for one person. And like, there are things that are not gonna work for you. And I'll tell you that straight up. And it's just like, it kind of breaks my heart to actually like know people like this or see people like this, because I understand and crave how bad you like want results and you want to feel better. But it's like, to the point of like, you are just so lost and you are like willing to do anything. And I'm just like, oh, my heart breaks. And like, that's where like we come in and we want to educate you. And it's just like, just be and let me help you. And like, that's the end of it, you
Yeah,
know?
it's a desperation ploy is what it is. You're so desperate to look or feel better that you want to try everything because everything works, and it's like, no, it doesn't.
Dude, I also think too, like, it's just like part of the issue with social media, though. Like, I'm not trying to like dog social media because it helps a lot, but there's just so much information out there. And it's just like, at some point, it's almost like too much, you know?
No,
And
for
like,
sure.
and the thing is, it's like who can post it the flashiest or the best looking is like what's gonna grab, like obviously what grabs your attention. And that's what you're like, oh yeah, this has to work. This has to be the best. And it's like, dude, whether I'm driving a Toyota or a fucking Lexus, they're both getting me down the road. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, one of my favorite bodybuilders of all time is Lee Haney. His whole thing was stimulate, don't annihilate. And that goes when it comes to the gym, and it goes when it comes to your nutrition and your mindset, right? It's like we want to stimulate to get a desired outcome, but we don't want to like just obliterate and tear ourselves up both physically and mentally and brute force an outcome. Because don't get me wrong, there are times, especially in conscious prep, where guess what? You gotta fucking push. You gotta go. You gotta, flex your mental resiliency and flex your discipline muscles. But there comes a point where it's like, if the body is fighting back, you gotta do what makes sense. Because either you make the choice to pull back, or your body makes it for you. And
Oh, that was me.
there's one of those things where it's like, well, it's up to you, and it's literally up to you about what you want to decide.
I was actually just talking to a girl on Instagram. She was telling me that she was in prep and she just continued to prep. Her coach never pulled labs on her. Like every year, she prepped last year. She was prepping this year. She didn't get on stage last year. They called it. Tried to do it again this year. She was doing an hour of cardio, like couldn't lose weight. Like on fats were like 30 and she's like 18 weeks out. And then she got this fucking rash, like hives all over. And I messaged her and she's like, hey, does anybody know like what's going on with these hives? Like, I went to some urgent care and this is fucking hilarious. This just talks about, as I'm pointing my pen in the screen, because I'm like, just Western medicine. She went there and they told her that, yeah, people are getting sick and they have a flu and the flu is causing these hives. Okay. Could possibly be that, right? But, I messaged her and I was like, dude, I think you have a histamine intolerance. Like, I think your body is so fucking stressed, right? And she's just like, I don't know. Like, I was told by the doctors it was this, and this. I'm on a steroid and something else and a histamine. So, lo and behold, I just was talking to her yesterday too. And I was like, hey, like, how'd everything go? And she's just like, dude, my body told me to fucking quit. Like, I had to pull the prep. And I was like, yeah, dude. And it's like exactly how you said. It's like, if you don't recognize these things or understand what's going on, it's like your body's going to make that decision for you. And we have to think too that we get so laser focused. And I know I'm someone who I will just push and push and push and push because that's what I feel like needs to happen. But like in the grand scheme of things, like my body for myself shut down. I got Hashimoto's, and I'm not saying prep was the only contributing factor, but it was definitely one of the biggest ones for me.
No, for sure, for sure. And like, I just kind of like when it comes to social media, I got a question on my anonymous where it was like, why do some people cut out dairy for digestive issues when some dairy products are known to be good for your gut health? And it's like, it is so multifaceted. Like for
Oh,
us, we have to characterize things as good or bad for whatever fucking reason when it's a spectrum. Like, why do we typically cut out dairy? Well, we have to understand that dairy has both protein and carbs and fat, depending upon like what the actual dairy source is. And obviously there's going to be an altered ratio depending upon the actual product, whether it's like actual whole milk, skim milk, if it's cheese, is it, like Greek yogurt where it's been fermented and we have like probiotics. So it's like we need to understand that it's multifaceted, and like I said, there is a spectrum. Like, why do we typically cut out dairy? Well, if we have a gut overgrowth, like maybe we're thinking of the fact that it has like sugars that tend to be fermentable, or maybe someone like me is lactose intolerant. So I tend to avoid dairy, especially in large quantities, because I'm lacking the enzyme lactase to break down those milk sugars. Some people, like in your case, it's less about the lactose and the lactase. It's more about the A1 casein protein that tends to be very inflammatory. So in places where people have things like Hashimoto's or other inflammatory autoimmune issues, it's like we want to avoid the A1 casein, but that's a protein. So it's like understanding that, like, just because something has probiotics in it doesn't mean there aren't other things in that product that could cause issues for someone else.
Right. Like you said, it's just not. individual. Like, oh wait, it is individualized, but it's just, it's like I said, there's just so much fucking information out there. And I mean, that was a good question. Honestly, it was a very good question, in my opinion, to be asked. But like you said, like, and I think that's the problem too, is like someone who has like digestive issues, they'll just be like, well, I can't eat dairy anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when it's like, what is the actual reason? Like you said, you just went through all of that. And it's so different for everybody, right? Because sure, like some people go through a gut health phase and they need to cut it out for a little while because of the sugars, and then you can bring it back in and it's fine once the gut is healed. Like, I've seen people who have no issues bringing it back in. But just because you're having digestive issues doesn't mean you can never eat it again, you know? And I think that's, it's just a lack of knowledge and, you know, the lack of information out there that are people that the information that people are following, I should say. People follow shit is what it is.
It's at the end of the day, it's like also how bad do you want whatever it is your goal is? Because some people say they have a goal, but they don't follow through with the right actions, which is why, like, you know, you go to the gym and you see the same people, like, quote unquote, busting ass, but they look the exact same. And, like, granted, devil's advocate on my end, maybe that's their goal to stay the same. Maybe their goal is to maintain, or maybe their goal is to just lift for health and not necessarily lift for aesthetics. But also, if you know that they're a competitor and they're looking the exact same year to year, it's like, okay, well, then that's depressing to me because that tells me that, like, something is wrong in their programming and either they're unaware or maybe they have a coach that's lying to them, telling them that everything looks good and there's like little to no progress being made, or it's they themselves holding them back because they are unwilling to let go.
And I mean, we were kind of talking about this earlier. It's like this is a lot of my Monday clients, actually. It's and like you said, is it themselves holding them back, you know, or are they lying to me, you know? You know, because like, have you ever had it? I'm sure you've had where you just kind of have this plan and you're just like, something's not adding up. Something's not adding up. Like, where are we falling short? And there's not a wrong answer. Like, you guys should be honest with your coach. Like, and maybe it's because something's too hard, or you don't know how to do it, or you're unaware. You're unaware that you're doing it wrong, dude. I was so fucking unaware of how terrible my training used to be. I used to think I was training balls to the wall. I used to think I was so fucking hardcore. Absolutely not up until 3 years ago. And I mean, you can see, you know, my shape has changed, my glute has changed. I've actually put on fucking muscle. But before I was like, ooh, I'm training so hard. I only rest 45 seconds in between each set and just keep going and do all this fucking bunny hopper shit all day long. Like, I couldn't even hip thrust over 135 because I was running around like a goddamn maniac in between sets and so tired. And I was like, yeah, I trained so hard, but I didn't know any better. My coach wasn't telling me any different. You know, I wasn't following anybody that was training like a real fucking bodybuilder. But like, and that's the thing, like, I needed to communicate with that. And that's why I like sending videos, because then my coach can be like, yeah, you're actually not training as hard as you think you are. And it's like, okay, like, thank you. Thank you for that feedback. Right. And, you know, that's, it's hard. It's hard to take feedback when you think you're doing something so well, but also too, like, you also have to be aware that like you said, you're not progressing. And especially like, since you said like someone at the gym, like maybe their goal is to look the same, but like when you're working with a coach and your coach knows your goal and you're not achieving that goal, it's like, where are we falling short here? Right. And I know it's, I'm not trying to say like and toot my own horn, like me and Ash are like the best, and like anytime you hire us and follow our plan, like you're gonna obviously get there. But like, we do know some shit. We know some shit, right? We know a lot of shit. But so it's like, I've created this plan for you. Where is it? Are we falling short? Because I know this plan is going to work for the most part. And if it's not working, if we're following it and it's not working, guess what? I got another plan. And I got another plan after that. And I got a fifth plan after that. I got 100 fucking plans to make this work. But we have to be on the same fucking page. So, question, how do you get on the same page if you've had multiple conversations with people?
It's one of those things where it's like we have to go back to like, well, why aren't we progressing? Like, what it is, what is the snag up? What is the snafu where it's like, oh, I'm following all these boxes, I'm checking off all these boxes, but the minute you say but, I'm like, okay, well, there's the problem, right? And it's like, well, how can we turn that but into I'm now checking all of my boxes, period. And sometimes it's just the inability to let go. Sometimes, you know, maybe I'm asking too much of them and I'm not meeting them where they're at, in which case it's a me issue. But like you said, like we have to first communicate and then plan and not deviate, but to create a new plan if our original plan's not working. But if you're not following the original plan, there's not much we can really change because we
Oh,
don't know
yeah.
like what's working or what's not working. And yeah, we can change the plan to be like bare bones. Like there are some clients where it's like we're not even tracking macros at this point. Like we don't even know what a fucking macro is. We just need to focus on eating 4 times a day and spreading that out evenly and not forgetting to drink water and not like missing out on sleep. And so it's like, you know, we can strip our programming back as, you know, as complex free as possible, or we can also make the plans as complex as we want. But it's understanding like the athlete and their psychology and really developing their trust and that network of relationships and understanding like we work together as a team to either, you know, move the ship forward or we don't work together as a team and it fucking sinks.
No, yeah. And like it's hard. It's hard for me to watch that and to because like I was telling you before, it's like I just want it so badly for you. And I don't want the ship to sink. I don't ever want the ship to sink, right? We don't want that. You know, because me and Ash aren't out here just to take your fucking money. And like, you know, there are people out there that do that. And it's like, no, like I want to feel good at the end of the day, knowing that you feel good. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And it, like you said, it's just like, where are we falling short? And sometimes it comes down to just like that communication is hard for people. Maybe another thing too is, I think this is actually pretty common. You know, they don't believe in themselves and they've never had anyone believe in them either.
Yeah, a lot of that can stem from the inability to have confidence in your own like programming or understanding, which is why communication is so important and asking questions, not in a questioning sense, but asking questions to better execute. But due to, you know, previous poor coaching experiences, there are some clients that like literally don't trust their ability to execute. And so anytime you provide feedback, there's like a multitude of questions following up on like simple things that like if you were to tell a 12-year-old kid to do, they would just go do, you know? It's like the thing about being a coach and why that can be difficult is not only are you trying to get a desired outcome of like a physique if it comes to bodybuilding or a health issue if it's a functional case issue, but you're also taking into account that the person has thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and that they have like different motivational factors, whether it's intrinsic or extrinsic. So it's so important to understand the person as a whole and not just seeing them as only an athlete. Then can you only get on the same page and start to work together? Which is why, like, part of my intake form, I ask about hobbies. I ask about what their week schedule looks like and their weekday schedule. I ask if their spouses or significant others are supportive of this goal. All of that fucking matters when it comes to getting the desired outcome and making sure that each and every day, a part of the journey of progress comes to, you know, fruition.
Yeah, and a lot of people lack confidence, and I think a lot of people are just scared to ask those questions because they don't want to seem stupid. And I think it comes because, like, obviously you hire a coach because they have knowledge, but like you said, you know, you tell a 12-year-old to go do something, they're going to do it without even hesitation. But you know, sometimes it's just like nerve-wracking to be like, well, I don't know what you mean. Well, if I'm not making fucking sense, tell me. Well, I can explain it a different way, you know, like it's fine. And, you know, like, and that's the thing. Like each client is so different. Like I have clients that either have been coaches themselves, have had other coaches. So I can talk to them on, you know, a higher level of education that, you know, uses maybe different verbiage and explanations for someone who's just starting out or is a lifestyle athlete. And I don't want them to ever feel like they can't ask questions, because you should, because that's what I'm here for, because you want to get to those goals and you need to understand. You need to understand why I'm doing things in order for, at least, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some people that are like, I don't give a fuck. I don't want to understand it. I don't care. I'm just going to do it. And there are people out there that are like that, you know? But I
It's a
think too, like,
spectrum of athlete maturity, in my opinion, because like you better believe in the beginning, like everything's new and exciting. Where it's like you want to understand because it's exciting and new, versus like some tend to be more micromanaging because it's a control issue. Versus like you and me are farther enough along in our like athlete maturity where it's like we know the whys for the most part, but really what holds us back is our emotional state, which is why it's like, okay, just tell me what to fucking do and I'll go do it. So that way I'm not overthinking my own programming.
Oh yeah, which is, it's crazy that like I think about this all the time with you specifically and how you write your own workout plans. And it just like impresses me because I think I would have so much emotional tie to mine, as in like, is this right? Is it wrong? Am I actually growing? Even if you could see growth, I would be so second guessing it, like, for me, because I know my emotions are so tied to that.
It's something that I had to work through. And I'll be honest, like, I have my base core movements, but if something's not feeling right, I'm getting shit engagement, I'm gonna swap it for something else. And like, what people don't understand is, yes, your training program is very important. Like, muscle confusion is retarded. Like, it's not a real thing.
Oh,
Like,
dude, stop.
no, but I'm serious.
Stop,
I
stop. I
once upon a
believe that.
time thought it was, you know, but
No, me too.
it's one of those things where it's like, what you think about your training usually matters so much more than the actual stimulus itself. Because if you are getting inside your head, having a temper tantrum in the gym because like RDLs feel really bad today and you're worried that you're going to get injured, bro, go do a lying or seated hamstring curl, go do a hip thrust and like call it a day. It's one fucking lift of 1 week. Now, obviously, if we're having execution issues, even though we're sending training videos and something like that, that's a different story. But like, when it comes to removing your emotion, it is a skill. And that's something that I wanted to work on because training is very emotional for me because I do love to train and I do want to make sure I'm making good progress. But what I've learned since I've controlled my own training is always push as hard as you can push, maintain good form as best as you can throughout the lift. And if something doesn't feel right that one day, take notes and either move on or work through it. But don't allow your emotional state to get the best of your training because at the end of the day, the fact that you can be in the gym and move your body and do something that you love is a gift. And when we appreciate gifts, that goes a lot better mentally than just like beating our head against a wall because, oh my God, my glute engagement sucked on my hip thrust. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's me though. Like, still to this day, it's something I'm trying to work on. And even it's really hard now too, like postpartum, I will say. My body coming back was it was so hard. It was so hard for me to lift those first couple of weeks. One, I took 6 weeks off because I had to listen to my doctor. And then I was so used to training the last 5 months with a ginormous fucking belly on the front load of me. So like I would like literally leave the gym and like obviously I was like sleep deprived, so I was a little bit more upset and a lot of hormones, but I would be so upset because I wasn't getting good engagement and I was like, this sucks. I remember telling myself that I wanted to quit bodybuilding because I was like, I can't do this. Like I can't, and like that's how emotionally I was tied to like a fucking hip thrust. And now here we are 5 months later and everything's fucking fine. Like I got over it, right? But like you and it nothing was wrong. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, I just couldn't get good engagement. And the fact is, I just needed to celebrate that I was showing up at that point, you know?
I'll
But.
actually take my own experience on Sunday. On Sunday, my hip thrust engagement fucking was donkey shit. I couldn't figure out why. I tried different like different cams in terms of like where the bar was on me. I tried different like platform settings, and for whatever life for the life of me, nothing was clicking. Like at a lighter weight, I could feel like good glute contraction, good glute squeeze, but like everything else, it was just dog shit, right? And I was getting really frustrated. So I was like, you know what? Just finish what you have programmed to the best of your ability and move on. And after the workout is done, call Eric over and see if he can take a bird's eye view when it comes to your alignment and see if you can figure it out. And that's exactly what we did. And we figured out something that was really important for me is, yes, it's really important to keep your core tight and your spine tall during a hip thrust. But what I wasn't taking into account because I couldn't see from a bird's eye view unless I videoed it differently than I currently was, because I always video from a side profile, not from a top down, because like who the fuck would do a top down for a hip thrust? Doesn't make any
I
sense.
mean, how could you even get it from top down? I mean, I guess you can, but still,
I
come
mean,
on.
right, but like that's another good point. It's like, well, I don't even know if I had the capability to, but I had him look at my alignment where my shoulders were to my hips, to my ankles, to my knees. And he's like, you know what? You are wanting to be super tall when it comes to your spinal alignment, which is correct. He's like, but try scooting down on the platform a little bit more because your femurs are so fucking long. And
Yeah, dude.
shit you not, the minute I scooted way down that I even thought I actually could in the machine, night and day difference. Like a good
And
glute contraction, my right was even firing a little bit better. And that's kind of like my problem child glute. I was like, oh, so I needed to literally just transitionally shift downward to have better engagement. And now guess what? That's in my notebook. That way the next time I do hip thrusts or a calf glute bridge on that machine, this is the setup that I need to do in order to be able to feel the contraction. And then, of course, one of the most important variables, have better intensity through those contractions.
Yeah, Eric for the fucking win. Thank God. Thank God, Eric's there.
Eric for the win, but also Ash for the win, because you
Oh,
better
yeah.
believe I would have thrown a fucking fit and cried and threw a temper tantrum and said that the whole lift was shit and yada,
Oh,
yada,
yeah.
yada. But instead, I was like, you know what? Do what you can. Be a little irritated because you're still human. I'm still human, believe it or not. Have a little like, oh, it's disappointing, but move on, and then come back and figure it the fuck out. Exactly what we did. And you saw my hamstring glute photo. Great, great looking stuff. So I can't be upset.
No, you can't. So I'm proud of you. Yeah, because like I think that's something that's so under talked about or underrated is like when you think like, oh my God, the whole workout's trash. This sucks. This is terrible. Like I hate my life. Like I'm never gonna train again, kind of bullshit. And it's like, relax, dude. Like it's not that big of a fucking deal, right? Like get over yourself. But that's a oh my God. Sorry, I thought my screen went off. But it's not that big of a deal because, like you said, like you just were kind of like, oh, well, that sucks, that stinks, and move on, right? And there's been times where like I've been in a workout and like nothing pisses me off more than like when your first set or first exercise is garbage and you kind of get in your head and you're like, this whole workout's gonna suck. But then like if you're like, all right, no, it's not, like next exercise, let's go, let's see. And then like if it's a good one, you're like, thank the Lord. Like that's usually how my one leg day is. I don't know what it is. I don't really enjoy doing like hip press, even though it's so good for my glute development. I just fucking hate it. Probably because I don't like the continuous. Well, you do muscle rounds, don't you, on yours?
No, I actually
Or
don't.
not?
I pulled
Oh.
muscle rounds out for this next
Okay.
like training block that I'm doing, but I do leg press twice now in a week. So one's quad focused and one's glute focused. But they're just straight
Okay.
sets.
So
They're not a
yeah.
muscle round.
Dude, I don't know what it is. I just don't like doing it sometimes. And then like when I get to my B stance RDLs, I fucking love them. So like my second lift is like my second exercise is always like so good and it puts me in such a better mood. But it's like that mindset I think is helping me too. And it's just like, okay, like even though this kind of sucks at first, like maybe one day it'll be good at first, but for now, like it's not gonna derail the whole fucking workout. It's not gonna be a whole shitty ass workout. Like don't be so dramatic, please.
Literally, it's like
So
at the end of the day, like even if the whole entire lift sucks from like start to finish, be grateful you at least had time to go to the gym, right?
have
Because
you ever
it's
had like a,
go ahead.
oh, sorry, have you ever had a workout where like you're just like not feeling it and you leave?
Yeah, I've done that
Yeah.
before where it's
Just
like
don't pay attention. Yeah.
I knew I shouldn't have even gone to the gym in the
Oh,
first place,
yeah,
but I
that's
was
it.
emotional about it. I was like, no, you're gonna
Yeah.
fucking train. And then I get like one exercise in and strength is not there, contraction is not there, and I'm just a At the void the to the point of tears. And I'm like, you know what? This is not in my best interest to continue on. Leave, go home, try again. And thankfully, I've learned better enough to where I don't have as those days now. Now I'm checking my ego when it comes to like I feel like dog shit. I mean, I literally made myself take a training break. You know what I'm saying? And like that never would have happened like 4 or 5 years ago. So it's like the fact that I'm at least wise enough now to remove my emotional state in order to do what's best for me as a long-term athlete, like that's a huge win.
Oh yeah. And that's just like you said, goes to show maturity on your level, like as an athlete in the sport. Because I think a lot of it does start off as a lot of emotions, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And then to kind of circle back with what we were talking about, like it first starts with like letting go. Like letting go to let your coach help you with like whatever it is that you're struggling with, to trust yourself to be able to execute. And if things aren't working, like don't be afraid to go back to the drawing board. Cause like, you know, just because we have like protocols for XYZ things, it doesn't mean that that protocol or programming might be the best for you. So it's good to be flexible when it comes to like your journey as a faction of years, not just like weeks. But it's also important to remain consistent above all else and to communicate. So, like, communicate with your coach, be consistent on your end. That way, your coach can actually help you.
I really want to focus on one thing. This is probably the last thing I say, but it's what you said. You said you have to trust yourself to be able to execute. And I think that's fucking huge because as humans in the society, we have a ton of self-doubt. And there are days, I shit you not, I probably think this at least 6 out of the 7 days a week where I wake up and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do it today. I don't know how I'm going to get everything done. I don't know how I'm going to track my macros, get to the gym, make sure my child doesn't die from not taking care of them. Like, and that's dramatic, but and like, how am I going to, be a mom, be a girlfriend or wife and get all my macros in, track my food, get my training in, get my steps in. Some days I'm just like, clean my house, do this, do that. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to get it done. And then at the end of the day, when I do get it done, I'm like, holy shit, I can do this. I can do hard fucking things, right? You just have to prove to yourself that you can do it once. And then it turns into 2 days. And then it turns into 3 days. And then you just have that ripple effect of believing in yourself over and over that no matter how hard it fucking gets, that you don't give up on yourself. And you have that, that trust, that confidence to believe in yourself, to actually execute day in and day out. And then you feel so rewarded every day versus, just like, I'm only going to be rewarded when I have this perfect body. No, you feel rewarded in the checking of the boxes and being consistent and following the plan and doing something that you didn't think you could fucking do in the first place. And here you are doing it over and over and over. And I'll be honest with you, it gets easier every single fucking day. I
Certainly.
think that is so important to have that confidence and to believe in yourself. And even if you don't believe in yourself, there was something I learned in when I was in cosmetology school, and it was kind of like fake it till you make it, right? Fake that confidence, fake that thought in your head that's like, oh man, like I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this 100%. And even if you fail, it's fine because you're still getting better each time. So I really think that that's important, that you have to be able to believe in yourself and think that you are capable of these things because you're deserving of them. You really are. You deserve to have, a good quality of life.
Yeah, for my higher functioning anxiety people, it's like a lot of the times we say day by day, and sometimes the whole entire day is overwhelming. So for them, I say take it hour by hour. Like it is so easy to see like your entire task and to-do list and to want it to be done because we view these tasks and these things to do as, yes, rewarding for that dopamine hit because you feel productive. But if you look at everything as a whole, it's like, oh my gosh, I have like, 12 to 10 hours in the day of like good, honest to God brain power before you just become a fucking vegetable that I need to be like on it for all of these things. It's just like, just take it one task at a time, hour by hour. Like, you need to eat. So have your meals pre-planned. So that way, all you have to do is cook and eat. It's like, okay, well, if I can go to the gym during this time, that means I need to schedule my child's feedings around these windows. And maybe like my mom can help take care of my kid or, my significant other can help out. It's like, scheduling, communication, and priorities. And like in my, even though things have not always been rosy on your end, like as someone who never wants to be like in that parental role again, in my mind, in my eyes, you were crushing it because like I've also been where you are in theory when it comes to taking care of someone like that is dependent upon you and having to juggle, an infinity task list, but you get it done because you have to.
Yeah, no, agreed. And it's so hard to take care of someone who doesn't fucking talk. So I don't know why you're crying. I don't know what you want. I've given you everything. I don't know what else to do. Like, that's just
Usually
hard.
for Eric, it's like he's hungry, he needs to be burped, he needs to be changed, or sometimes we just need to jangle keys over him just to like give him
Oh,
something to do.
yeah. He needs to be burped, sit there and pat his back. I can just picture you doing that. That's fucking
Sometimes you
hilarious.
just need to like let one rip and just like fart it out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all, I mean, I get upset when it's stuck. You just gotta let it feel good. Wipe
Bruh,
it.
can you give babies enemas? Is that a thing?
I
Little
don't think
baby enema?
my kid doesn't need one. He just shit all over his high chair today. So,
Oh.
oh yeah, the whole thing ruined. I was like, great.
Oh, do you have like a hose or something you can spray it off?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It needs to
That's
be power washed, like, for sure. And like, that's the thing, they make like everything's got a strap on it to keep it safe, and then it's all covered. Like, the whole s the strap is ruined. I'm like, now how am I supposed to walk? Like, why does everything need a seatbelt? I guess for safety, whatever, but still.
I mean, yeah,
More.
lately, I've been doing this thing. This is like completely irrelevant, but we're just keeping it in anyway. I've been doing this thing where I treat Eric like a toddler. So like what happens is like if we're about to go somewhere, I'm like, do you need to go potty before we go bye-bye? And he'll be like, yeah.
Dude, that's funny because I need that. I need someone to tell me that because literally it never fails within 5 minutes of leaving the house. I'm like, Can we stop somewhere? I have to pee. I'm not going to make it 20 minutes.
Literally. And so it's like, if he's a good boy at Costco and doesn't throw a tantrum, I'm like, we'll get ice cream afterward. I'll be like, does it taste good? And he'll be like, yeah.
Was worth it. I was so good. I was such a good boy.
Such a good boy. He's like, I'm gonna fucking beat you later. But
That's fucking hilarious.
yeah, that's all I got. Anything else?
No, I don't have much else to say other than, I know this podcast was just kind of, I think it was good, to be like instilling yourself with confidence, for all you guys that listen, if you're having hard days, like you can do it. You can execute, even if some days aren't perfect. Just know that there's always opportunity to win the day back. And if one thing sucks, if training sucks, if one exercise is stuck, like it's not the end of the fucking world. You'll be fine. Believe in yourself. It's always going to get better and you can always do it. And that's all I have to say now.
Yep, nope, agreed. I won't, up until next time, guys. Peace.